Okay, well, thank you all for coming out tonight. We appreciate it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, let's all do a USP, please. Y'all know how to do it. Let's go ahead and do it. He's not a word of sins. He's all the righteousness.
Give me this morning, I'm going to secret sins. And as according to 1 John 1 and 9, if they said in the word, if I answer.
Excellent.
Yeah, sometimes we have people repeat in case there's newcomers, or there are people that are watching the video replay that may not frequent ABC. So it's to help a lot of the newcomers too. Okay.
Well, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for this time of friendship and fellowship, and that this program goes forth tonight to be a blessing to everybody as we're reaching into to pull us all closer to you, Lord, using what we've learned in this movie, plus upcoming questionnaire and trainings, that we get closer to you, Lord, to hear your voice better, preparing for the end times. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So this is going to be the last part four of the Bible study of the movie War Room. And I think that I've gotten a lot out of the Bible study. We've done our own. Carol early let us know there is an official Bible study with the Kendrick Brothers War Room movie. They usually do have a study guide with each of their movies. But we did our own, and Charlie and Annie helped us with it. It was really good. And I think it's been a real blessing. Have you been blessed by the Bible study on this movie? Anybody?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. So we're going to mute everybody, and then we're going to do worship first. Okay.
Can't see you, Michael. We're not on video, so you couldn't see him. And we're all muted now, except us.
Down, torn.
promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. I never will forget.
Okay, praise the Lord. So, as you know, we've been studying the movie War Room, and the concept is to find a quiet place for yourself to pray and hear the Lord. So, we're going to ask you questions tonight. We'll get some more involvement today and get some feedback of everything going on. So, I hope you all had a good time with this. Things have been kind of fun myself. I have to say, although Karen and I have probably seen this movie 10 times, we learned a lot more by doing this study than we had previously to help bring us closer to God, which has really fallen in line with our 633 program we've been talking about. So with that being said, let's go right to a couple questions and have some fun. I like to be very interactive. We're going to unmute everybody so everybody can just speak as they will, please.
Okay. Just so do a favor, and if you can keep yourself muted until you ask a question, and then if you can mute it again after you're done with your comment, so that way if anybody else is talking, that in case there's some background noise, that it will help not to have background noise would be appreciated. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So let's go to screen share.
Okay, first question is, and what was your favorite part of the movie and why? Who wants to volunteer an answer?
I have an answer.
Okay, go ahead.
My favorite part of the movie was when she was crying in her war room when her husband was out to eat with that lady, and then she kept saying submit to God, resist the devil, and he would flee from you three times, and that gave her the boldness to be able to pray authority over her home. But it lines up with the theme of healing school semester 3, so that's what I liked about it.
Very good.
Okay. Well, I like that Elizabeth was honest with Claire and confessed that what she did not pray with her husband at all. He only went to church sometimes. In addition, when Elizabeth created a war room, didn't give up, even though at first it seemed like nothing was happening. Okay. Who else wants to add into it? Okay, so I base it on scripture, James 5:16. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, the dynamic in its working. Okay.
Yeah, I think that as we saw in the movie, Elizabeth was honest that she wasn't praying for her husband and she expected him to change, but she wasn't interceding for him. Sometimes when someone is in sin or they don't realize it or have unaware sins, we need to intercede so that it gives God permission to open the eyes of the understanding of the person who's in sin so they could then see it, admit it, repent, and turn around. And so when she took Clara's advice to create her war room, in the beginning, it just seemed like it was, you know, very challenging, especially when she saw that text on his phone and suspected that he might be, you know, being tempted to have an affair. Instead of giving up, it just spurred her on to fight for her man, fight for her marriage, fight for her family. And she was doing a continued prayer. And we have to realize that dunamis, dynamite power inside of us is still working regardless how we see it working. Just believe that the word of God does work and then stand strong to believe for the turnaround, okay? So if it doesn't look like things are working, keep up with your prayers because it is doing something good, okay? And it is powerful and God is doing things and causing circumstances to line up in Jesus' name.
Okay, the other part I liked was when Michael Jr. said, what, your wife gave some of her closet space? Do you know how rare that is?
That was a very good point, Pastor James.
Okay, so who else has another favorite part of the movie they want to bring up and talk about? Anybody? Okay, the other part that I really liked was when he had lost his job and he's all angry and challenged, and she just was calm and she just handled it all. And one of my favorite verses is a gentle Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And she really settled him down because she was just calm and everything.
Yeah, hold on just a minute for me, please.
They're not able to unmute.
Okay,
thank you. I'm just reading my chat now. When we're doing screen share, it's hard for us to look at the chat, so do us a favor and text us. Let me go ahead and see if I can unmute you again. This is a glitch that we have on Zoom. I did it several times. Let me click again. I asked you all to unmute a third time.
There we go.
Okay.
Now we're on.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? Okay, Annie, I'm going to co-host you. So if there are any challenges in the future, chat with Annie and then she can unmute you if some other glitches happen. Is that okay, you guys?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Annie, for helping. And let's see, make sure Annie can unmute. And let's see, if I'm looking,
Carol's good, okay.
Sometimes I manually look to see if anybody's muted because it's just a Zoom glitch. So if I see red, I shouldn't have to do this, but I am having to do it.
I can unmute, but I'm staying muted. And so
great. Okay. So if anybody has a golden hand up, she can unmute you if you need to be muted. Okay. Thanks for letting me know, guys.
Okay, so Carol, what do you want to say here?
So my favorite part was when Claire was in her war room, her prayer closet, just fervently and viciously pushing back the enemy. And, you know, is it James 4:7 that says, submit yourself to God and resist the enemy and he will flee. And she was just not taking anything from the enemy. So that was my favorite part.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yes, my favorite parts were where the older lady was teaching and then kind of mentoring the wife. The funniest part was when he was just about to go out with that other lady after dinner and he got horribly sick in answer to his wife's prayer.
Amen. That was good.
Anybody else? How about when she walked in her house and verbally took authority over it and kicked the devil out? Anybody like that part?
Yeah.
Yes, that was good.
Yeah.
I also like the... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I like the part... as he started to come back together with his young daughter, you know, started jumping rope with her and her friend. And then at the competition, I thought that was really, really powerful. And it was him reconciling. I mean, the family coming together as a family again.
Definitely.
Because they were all there together.
Amen. Those are all very good points.
Okay. So what life lesson helped you the most? I mean, there's, creating a war room for spiritual warfare, intercessory prayer, getting rid of distractions, go to a quiet room, place in secret, focus on your heart, mind on God, realize you desperately need the Holy Spirit to lead you how to pray, lift your knees up to God, confess your sins and forgive, believe in God's word, pray and don't rush. And that's a challenge a lot of us these days. Well, there's something coming up, I better pray fast, you know. Be grateful for God's blessings and answered prayer, even if it starts with a small beginning. It bases on Matthew 6:6 and James 4:7. But when you pray, go to your room. When you shut your door, pray to your Father who is secret place, and your Father sees in secret will reward you openly. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'd like to add one more part to that. Remember, Jesus often went alone to be with the Father. There was thousands of people there, but when it was time for him to stop, he went to be with the Father. So what life lesson helped you the most? Who wants to add to this question?
Maybe if you scroll it back up, you have some more ideas.
Okay.
There you go.
How about a life lesson when she said in the beginning of the movie that when you fight the devil, that you need to fight with the right way and the right scriptures, right resources. Remember that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was important. What other sayings did Clara say that was like a life lesson that helped Elizabeth, that you like some of the things that Clara said?
I liked when she, at the end, where she told Elizabeth that she has to now mentor somebody else. And Elizabeth was shocked to find out that she was the first person that she had, that Clara had mentored.
Amen. Yeah.
That was interesting.
Good point, Deborah. Peter, were you going to say something?
I was just saying that was interesting when she found out that she was the first person that Clara had mentored.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she did such a good job of it, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So see, when God's sending you someone to minister to, just be confident to share what God has shown you. We don't have to be perfect. We just have to be open to showing them what God shows us. And it'll still help them because it's more than what they knew before. right?
Yes.
Even just your friendship, that's something that could be shared, right?
Carol, did you get unmuted yet?
Yeah, Carol was unmuted.
Well, she just texted in and she was.
Are you muted? Unmuted again?
Andy, can you make sure Carol's unmuted? I think she sent a chat and she was still challenged.
Okay,
now I can unmute.
There we go. Praise Lord. What'd you have to say, Carol?
Speaking of life lessons, there's a part in the movie, I haven't seen it for a while, where it reflects back on how Claire used to be and how she had to change and grow in the ways of the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we might meet people and they might be in kind of a bad place, but just praying for them and knowing that there's hope and they can change into being a Claire. But Claire didn't always start out like that. She was exactly bitter right. and just her life needed to change. And along the way it did. And for her to be so powerful and then mentor Elizabeth. Wow. Right.
So
that to me is a life lesson.
Very good.
Okay. Did this inspire you to increase praying for your loved ones? Have you seen any positive results yet? In addition to praying more for loved ones and starting out to be a light to them, God has opened up doors of opportunity that were not welcome before. That sent out tremendous testimonies and praising God. You based on our scriptures, Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts that Christ depart is holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. So who else had some inspiration for this movie? Then increase their praying for your loved ones.
Yes, it did.
Okay, any positive results yet, Peter?
Not visible, but they're on the way.
Okay.
We agree with all of you in Jesus' name.
Yeah, anybody else?
I've been doing the warm affirmations and praying for my family and someone that wasn't sure if they were offended or not talking to me. I reached out to them and they answered back like nothing was wrong. That was a miracle. That was, not a miracle, but it was a really good answer to prayer.
Amen. That's Amen. Exciting. Very exciting.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Okay. Let's move forward here.
I would compare this right now to Old Testament biblical spiritual warfarers who were good and had victory. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, Esther, of course, Queen Esther. Esther was an orphan Jewish who became queen of the Persian king Xerxes. The king succeeded King Darius, #1, and ruled over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. That's a huge territory.
And they're supposed to be good examples. They were.
Good examples. Okay. At the time, a number of Jews were still in Babylon under the Persian rule, even though they had been free to return to Jerusalem for 50 years. Now, Haman, the king's second in command, wanted the Jews destroyed and manipulated the king for their execution. Esther was used by God to save her people, and she called a 3-day fast where all the Jews entered in their own version of a war room crying out to God. The result was she had great favor for the king. Haman was hung, and her people were able to defend themselves against the enemy and won the battle. Now, just as Esther was called for such a time as this, we are called for such a time as this to prepare for the return of our King Jesus by praying more vigilantly in our own war room. Esther 4:14, for remaining silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish, and who knows, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Okay? So, we know the story of Esther. fascinating story, and she risked her own life to save her people. But they did call for a three-day fast, and the whole world was changed for their benefit because they all went in their private time and prayed, and all Jews did this, as she called out for them to do this. Okay. Now, the second one we're talking about is Daniel, and Daniel's one of my favorite books in the Bible. Daniel was enslaved in exile as a teenager to Babylon, where he lived for over 60 years. Because of Daniel's wisdom, knowledge, and handsome appearance, he and three other young Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were selected for the training program of serving in Nebuchadnezzar's court. Either all four of them refused to eat the king's delicacy and had found favor and were 10 times smarter than the wisest Babylonians. God used Daniel to interpret very important dreams of the kings and the writing on the wall that nobody else could. Then these kings honored the God of Daniel. Okay. God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace when they stood strong in their faith and only prayed to Yahweh, would not bow down to any other God. Now, or idol. Okay. It's important here to realize there's a lot of pressure in the world today to bow down to worldly things that they want you to bow down to. And we have to stand strong that we only bow to our Lord. Okay. Daniel refused to stop praying as decreed by the king. He never stopped his daily prayers. He got down on his knees and prayed and praised God three times a day in his upper room facing Jerusalem. Even though the Babylonians tried to kill him because of it, he entered his version of the war room and God saved him. So Daniel 6:11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. He went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? So the king gave the command, Daniel 6:16, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And the king spoke to Daniel, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Now, the king liked Daniel. Daniel was one of his favorite people. He helped the king a lot. But by the king's own decree, he had to follow his law. But in doing so, the king actually spoke to Daniel, your God will deliver you. Okay?
That's prophetic.
That says a lot. Okay, I'll talk about the power of words right there. Okay.
Well, he had also seen the history of Daniel and all that God had done through Daniel and the interpretation of those dreams that even their wisest men could not figure out. And so as those prophecies through the dream interpretation came to pass, they started to honor Daniel's God and see that he is the God of gods. And so they had faith in Daniel's God. And the king was very upset that this was a trick that the people that hated Daniel did. But he stood in faith for Daniel as well. So I thought that was cool.
Now, the people who did this were other wise men, but weren't near as wise as Daniel. And they were jealous of him.
Yeah.
Now, expect this. Mm-hmm. As you are doing your godly things, people are going to be very jealous of you mm-hmm. as you have God's favor going forth. Just expect it. It's going to happen. So Daniel 6:18-23. Now, the king went into his palace and spent the night fasting. No musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God. Now here the king is saying that God is the living God. Okay, this pagan king is calling God the living God. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, king, I've done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury, whatever was found in him, because he believed in his God.
What did you say when Daniel went in the?
Do you know what Daniel said when he went in the lion's den? Does anybody know what he said?
This is what.
Here, Pastor Jay. Kitty.
Only Pastor Jay has come up with that, right?
So Daniel never ceased to pray and seek God. His close relationship with God became a vital help in the time of need. He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit like you are, so your prayers have greater impact. Now, 2 points I want to make right here. First of all, we all know we're coming toward the end times. We know there's going to be a challenge to the mark of the beast. It's going to be very similar to Daniel worshiping this idol. We can't take the mark of the beast. We have to believe God will deliver us no matter what. Okay? I agree.
Good points.
Hey, John 14:12-17. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. But whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, I want to make a point here. It says in Luke 7:28 and Matthew 11:11, this is very important right now. John the Baptist was greater than those before him. That included Moses, that included Daniel, that included all of them. John the Baptist is greater. But you are greater than John the Baptist. So as we go forward to these challenges, remember that while Daniel was here, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are actually greater than Daniel. So we go forward, no fear, knowing that no matter what we have to do, God is with us. Fair enough? So the objective here is to become a stronger spiritual warrior. Recommendations: become a stronger spiritual warrior
of God
that has called you to be. Fight the good fight of faith by using the word of God. Fight the right way with the good fight of faith using the word of God. ABC at 6:33. Create your own secret war room for spiritual warfare, intercessory prayer, and fight the right way. In addition, affirm the ABC war room affirmations on a regular basis and walk in forgiveness and encourage yourself through reading the word of God. Like God's people in the Bible saw victory after being in the war room. Now, forgiveness, you know, Daniel got out of the fiery place. He didn't curse the guys who put him in there. He said nothing bad about them. You know, Joseph never said a bad word about Potiphar or about the prison warden. Okay. But they were exonerated. They were taken care of. So when these people attack us, it's not us to fight back that way. We must walk in love and peace and joy at all times. Okay. Great. Any comments? All right. Well, let's go into communion. Repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Please cleanse me. Of all unrighteousness. According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9.
Okay, then Deborah, I believe you're supposed to do the body, and Carol, you're going to do the blood.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you that you're teaching us and training us in righteousness. Thank you that you brought us together as a group, that we can learn how to operate in your kingdom. And we thank you, Jesus, that you have given us everything that we need, that you've given of your very self, that on that night that you were betrayed, you took the bread and you blessed and broke it, and you gave it to your disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And Lord, we also are your disciples, and we have this bread, and you said it's your body. So we have your body to eat right now. And it's by your stripes, Lord, that we are healed. Thank you for providing what we need for not only our hearts and souls, but our minds and our bodies as well. So we praise you, Lord Jesus, that we get to be that living sacrifice, that we are the temple of God, that you dwell in us, and we dwell in you, and your word abides in us, and we abide in you. And we have that unity and communion with you and with each other as we take of this bread, your body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. The grain I receive in Jesus' name.
And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." So, Father God, we just thank you for the life that you have running throughout our body, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. Thank you, Father God, for the excellence that this blood carries to each and every one of our organs, and the life that runs out of us, Father God, as we touch each other, as we lift each other up, Father God, would be a stranger or family member. So we just praise you. We just glorify you for being on the cross so that we may, Father God, have life and health abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take up this prayer.
Receive in Jesus' name.
And receive it in Jesus' name.
Pray and receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, great. Beth and Tony, could you do communion next week, please?
You're still muted. Can you unmute now?
I sent them a request to unmute.
Okay, thank you.
There we go.
I don't think they heard you.
Beth and Tony, are you able to do communion next week?
Sure. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great. Okay, we got a few minutes. Any thoughts, any comments anyone wants to make?
It was encouraging reading about Esther and Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what was the encouraging part for you in specific?
Well, I was thinking about at that time that they were in Babylon. She was in and he was in, but that was the same area, right? It was just taken over by different kings.
Right.
But there wouldn't have been any godliness in that, and there wasn't the Holy Spirit. So the evil present would have been, what I'm imagining is it would have been so bad, and yet they still sought after God, praying to him and crying out to him, and God delivered them.
Amen.
Very good.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else comment?
It was interesting how brave Esther was to go to the king with what Mordecai had told her. She was not afraid to go to the king, even though he did not summon her.
Okay.
Very good point.
She was hesitant. She knew that going to the king without being invited could cost her her life.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. she asked her people to pray.
Mm-hmm.
God would give her favor as she approached the king. So they did, and he received her, gave her favor. And then the funny thing is that Haman, who hated Mordecai, Esther's uncle, and hated Esther also, hated all the Jews. He had built a big gallows in his front yard on which he planned to have Mordecai hang Esther's uncle, who had raised her. But the king wanted to hang Haman after he found out the truth. And someone said, well, there's a gallows in his own yard. Hey, hang him there.
Yeah.
Are you saying he reproduced
clothes? And all his family. So he and all his family were hanged on his own gallows.
Are you saying he reaped what he sowed?
Yeah, I would say he did very
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Isaiah 54:17, God vindicated Mordecai, the family member of Esther, and honored him. So no matter if someone does you an injustice, you just keep praying and walking in the fruit of the Spirit, and God will vindicate you. So that's a good point, Peter. Good point.
Yeah, Mordecai didn't go out for vengeance himself, but through the king, he was. What the word now, but he was
vindicated
because
and exalted.
But his enemy was venge. So
right,
yeah. Right.
Is that why we get the term being? Is it Hamanized? Like when somebody tries to do you dirty and it fails and it ends up going back on them. It's like you say they.
I
hadn't heard that one, but that's interesting.
Good point.
Very good point.
Good point. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great.
You know, Hamanized? I've never heard Hamanized.
Me neither. But, hey, we learned something new today from Gwen.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Another nugget from 633 crew.
Yay for 633 group.
Hamanized. Wow.
Amen.
My grandmother used to have an old saying. She was a praying woman. She used to say, when you dig a hole, dig one for yourself too. Because God is going to vindicate you.
I've heard that one.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Well, Annie, what was your comment on Hangman?
Hangman. I mean, when you put Hangman and Hayman.
Oh, the game Hangman. right. So
yeah, well, praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for coming. One announcement. Catherine McCandles. Oh,
can I preempt everybody? Always check your emails because we at least once a day or every other day, because we usually communicate that way with you. So everyone should have gotten an email about Catherine Magnano's memorial service coming up, and you can print out mm-hmm. the information. If you did not get it, let us know and we'll resend the email because it did go out to you. And this is a reminder. So if you need to take notes, if you didn't check your email, if there's something challenging with your internet, you could take notes.
Okay. It's going to be the 31st of this month. Okay, that's a Thursday.
Next Thursday, right.
It's a week from tomorrow, okay, at Oakdale Memorial Mortuary in the Cremation Garden. That's 1401 South Grand Avenue, Glendora, California.
I'm going to repeat that.
It's 1401 South Grand Avenue, Glendora, California. That's one right by the church there, by ABC.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. 9 a.m. visitation, 10 a.m. funeral service in the chapel, 11 a.m. grave site and burial. Pastor Madge is going to ask you to do the service. We've loved Catherine and miss her very much. Okay. Catherine's family is requesting that instead of flowers, checks be preferred. Checks be made to Catherine Finan, F-I-N-A-N. Address is 1833 Monte Vista Street, Pasadena, California, 91107.
If anybody wants that information, then you could text us. If you did not get your email, this is all on your email, so you could find it there. Also, we have after service prayer tonight. So Annie and Peter will be staying after to do after service prayer. Is there anyone that wants to stay afterwards? Please raise your hands. Anybody wants after service prayer, or raise your golden hand?
Okay.
Yeah. People are thinking of Catherine, and we do miss her. We're blessed to be able to know her for the years that we were able to. Carol early said she thinks of her often. She was a powerful woman of God. I agree with that. And we still love her, and blessed that she was in our lives, you know. And we also are blessed that Bill Bear was in our lives and a good friend as well, and Tim Greenwood. Susan has not decided about a memorial or anything yet, but she did say on her behalf to let ABCers know that if anyone wants to contact her by text or email, or if you guys want to send any condolence cards to Susan, feel free to do so, because she would love to hear from you. Okay. She did need some time to be with her family and in privacy, you know, mourn his loss, and we will miss him. And Miss Catherine and Tim Greenwood as well. So please try to shower your love to all these families that had their loved ones go home to heaven. Okay. Peter, could you pray for all these three families, the Bear family, the Magnano family, and the Greenwood family, please?
Yes, Father, I lift up to you, and we corporately together lift up to you Susan Bear and her family. We grieve with her, but as Paul said to do, to not grieve as the Gentiles do, the unbelievers do, for we know where Bill is, and Susan knows where Bill is, and we thank you, God, for Bill and Susan's godly life together, his godly life before you. We thank you, Lord, that he is with you. And I speak comfort and peace and growing joy to Susan in the name of Jesus. Father, I lift up the family of Tim Greenwood. I ask you, Father, I don't know them myself, but you do know them, and many of these, our friends here, do know them. I lift them up to you, Father, for your comfort and a return of joy to their spirits. I lift up Catherine's family to you, Father. I thank you, Father, for her life and for the privilege of knowing her. I lift up her family to you, Father, for again, for peace, comfort, and that they seek you for guidance. and they get guidance from you. They get love from you. They get hope from you. They get comfort from you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Amen. We agree with those prayers. Thank you for that beautiful prayer. And those of you that didn't hear, we did announce that those of you that knew Tim, Marsha Greenwood said that you could email their ministry email for any condolences as well. And just keep lifting up these families for the next few weeks to come. So God continues to console them and comfort them. And we just will extend our love to them through our prayers too. Okay? All right. Susan, you want to say anything?
Yes, thank you. Thank you from my heart. I love all of you very much. And I'm grateful for your prayers. Thank you.
We love you, Susan.
We love you, Susan. Yes.
Yeah, we do all love you, Susan.
I love you too.
Amen.
Good. Okay. Karen, can we get Susan's address?
Yes, if you know what, Annie, could I ask you to do an email?
I was just gonna say we'll send out
Susan's contact information because Susan has given us permission for ABCers to give info to our ABCers because you know she trusts that you guys respect her and her privacy, and that those cards will be a blessing to her to mail greeting cards to her and your sentiments. So check your email again tomorrow, the next day, for Annie to send you that info. Is that okay, Susan? Okay.
Well, all right. Now.
Well, no, she had told me previously it's okay. I just want to double check that the email blessed. It's okay. I already had permission. Yeah, too late now, Susan. No, just kidding. We're going to love you anyway. Sorry. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, right?
Yes.
Amen. Okay.
All right, Amen. So anybody that wants to stay for after service prayer, go ahead and stay on. I'm sorry, a couple of weeks ago, I was getting used to it and I ended the meeting. I did call a couple of you afterwards, didn't I, Denise? Yes. So I do make mistakes. I make up for it. And he's like, what did you just do? Oops. Okay, love you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Love you guys.
Bye. Bless everyone.
Love you guys.
You too.
Everyone. Bye.